This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Visit audibletrial.com/CSR to download your free audiobook. Again, that's audibletrial.com/CSR for a free audiobook.
And by The Country Squire. Visit thecountrysquireonline.com to discover custom pipes, handcrafted blends, and unparalleled customer service. Thecountrysquireonline.com.
We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
Good
evening. Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing?
You know,
you're tired.
I'm exhausted.
You have had a long day.
I'm exhausted, man. Yeah. You know, a good friend of mine and also a good friend of the show came in earlier today, and you know, he just kind of caught the brunt of it. I was like, "It's my turn to vent," and then I just went on. Man, I'm just tired, dude. Yeah, it's been a lot going on,
man.
And yeah, but I mean, things are great. Things are really good. It's just real busy season. So yeah, we had a quirky couple of folks in the shop this morning that gave the tobacconist a little heartburn, but anyway, we made it through the day.
Those bill collectors
didn't break any laws and that we know of, and so are glad to be here on Country Squire Radio.
No. Hey, that's good. I'm glad you're not breaking any laws that you know of.
That, I mean, you know, sometimes things get a little dicey, you know, when right. Tempers flare and whatnot. But
fair enough, man. Well, good. Well, you know, actually, I've you know, it's been a real crazy busy day for me as well. But
yeah.
I am trying something right now that I hope is gonna like help my my nerves a little bit.
Yeah.
Every single morning, my wife wakes up and goes for an early morning run. Like,
yeah.
Right at the crack of dawn, trying to beat the kids from waking up.
And, you know, that's bad for your knees, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's good for other things. And so...
whatever helps you sleep.
but no, she's getting up there and running. And I was sleeping in. And this morning, I was like, you know what? And actually, it was yesterday. I was like, you know what? I'm going to prepare so that when she wakes up, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to have my coffee. I'm going to do a little reading on the porch.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the sun come up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought every single time, you know, I've got this little kid. I'm bottle feeding this kid and watching all these HGTV shows where they all go and they buy these houses and they talk about the porches and talk about like, oh, this would be great if I wake up in the morning and have my coffee out here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that's a major selling factor for a house. And I never do that. It's so
not a bit
inspired by HGTV and in an effort to try to get up and get at it a little bit earlier.
Well, you know what? As you know, brother, is one of my close friends, like I'm always talking about my porch. My porch is my favorite room of my house.
It's,
you know?
It's the second best porch in Belhaven.
But as a wonderful porch, it's just one of those places where, you know, you want to be all the time, and when the weather's appropriate, you want to go out there. But man, it's just been too doggone hot. We finally had a couple days respite here, which has been nice. But man, those first few little glimmers of fall that come in, you'll find me out there pretty much every morning, smoking my pipe and having a nice cup of coffee.
Man, that's good. Hey, we should talk a little bit about some stuff that's going on. You know, can we actually, before we talk about new stuff coming?
Yeah.
This last past week, you had the
man, it was so much fun
trunk show for Briarworks.
That's right. That's right. The Briarworks folks, Pete Prevost in particular, came down to Jackson.
Dude is awesome.
Yeah, it was so much fun getting to know Pete. You know, we'd obviously, I'd, you know, interacted some before, but it was great to connect with him and get to know him and his work. And he's just such a great guy too. One thing about in the pipe community, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that do amazing work, but when you find one of those people that is also just a really, really good person, you just want to support that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Do. And Pete is one of those people. What they've got going on at Briarworks is great. But yeah, Pete came down last week as part of our celebration of our 45th birthday at the Country Squire. And yeah, we had Briarworks pipes, Neptune, Icarus, and also some Country Squire custom kind of house pipes for the anniversary. So
yeah,
it was a lot of fun. We had a really good time, and thanks again to Pete and the folks at Briarworks for coming down.
Yeah, and I got a chance to kind of sit down and talk to him a little bit on mic. And
yeah,
so,
that's right.
Hopefully within probably about a week or so, we'll have a special shop talk coming your way.
Yeah.
With Pete from Briarworks, and man, really great to kind of hear their story. And
yeah,
you know, as someone, you know, he kind of has been very transitional in the process of the creation and then the maturation of what that company is. And so really interesting story. I'm looking forward to sharing it.
It is exciting. We had a couple other good friends come down for that event too. Our friend Crimson Rat Tyler from Memphis, who had a child recently.
That's right, man.
And his child may or may not be named after the main medium for carving pipes.
Matt, did you see also that gift?
That was wicked.
All right, so he had...
It was awesome.
I think it's fine for us to talk about, right?
I think so.
Okay. Crimson Rite, of course, the official Country Squire Radio quartermaster, always hooking us up with the best and the latest.
That's right.
But no, man, he had a friend who... he got this... You know, one thing, he got this amazing pipe. I mean, just gorgeous, gorgeous pipe to kind of commemorate this new addition to his family. And he had a friend actually carve a miniature version of this pipe, like spot on replica for his child.
Fully functional. Fully functional. It was like maybe the length of my pinky finger.
Now when we say fully functional, they're not lighting up the kid or anything.
No. But I mean, you know, you could run a pipe cleaner through it, and it's made of briar, and you know, I think it was even pre-carved on the inside.
It was so crazy cute.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
That, and then also that box somebody had made for him.
It was almost like a kid's, like one of those boxes where
you put the
shape of the piece into the right hole kind of thing. And it was awesome. It was all pipe.
Oh, got to be pipes too.
I mean, for a kid named Briar,
man,
it's the right thing.
Crimson Rat did it upright. But yeah, and
he
then
did.
Also you had a visitor who was a longtime customer who brought in that crazy meerschaum.
Yeah, that was really cool. Our friend Chris Manning, who is in Canton, Mississippi, actually just right up the road. But he came down. It's funny. I normally see his wife, who's out kind of in Jackson a good bit, so she'll swing by and pick up his custom tobacco that we make for him there at the shop. But it was really cool. He had his first pipe that he ever bought from the Country Squire back in 1978. It was actually a meerschaum pipe, but you had to look really closely to find out that it was a meerschaum. It was one of those pipes that was colored so perfectly, and then he stopped smoking it after it was colored perfectly and put it in a frame. And it was just gorgeous, just really, really nice. So anyway, it was great to see Chris. We reconnected with some old friends. Our buddy Charlie Shear in Hattiesburg came up for the visit. Charlie, big pipe enthusiast. We had folks from different parts of the state, and man, it was just great. And by the way, as far as the kind of 45th anniversary festivities that are ongoing, if you're in the Jackson area this Friday, August 21st, local musician Matthew Clark is going to be playing at the shop. And so we hope you can come by 6:30 Friday, the 21st. And then next week on, I believe that's the 28th, that Friday at 7 p.m., we're going to have our grand birthday party celebration thing. So come one, come all. Bring whatever you want to drink, whatever you want to eat. Plan to stay all night. And man, let's shut the place down in style.
Yeah, man.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Man, that sounds awesome. A lot of great stuff going on at the Squire. Now, for some people, like myself, unfortunately, we won't be able to make it. But if you are in the Grand Rapids area around that time,
that's right.
August 27th, 7 p.m., we're doing a big meetup there. Check out the Facebook page. We've got an event. You can go ahead and I think click on the event and say you're coming. Hang out with me, hang out with Beardcore from Father of the Flame documentary, the forthcoming documentary about
Pipes. I'm
jealous.
I'd love to have a pint with Rush. That sounds like
great.
Dude,
it is going to be awesome. I'm so excited about that. So again, if you're in the Grand Rapids area, August 27th, 7 p.m., that is the place. That is the time.
Yeah.
And hey, you know what? I mentioned it last week. I've got this side venture going out. We've been working hard on creating a really awesome podcast player for Android that is completely ad-free. Not this freemium junk. It is, you download it, it's free. You get to experience your podcast. They're free as well. So check it out. It's an open beta right now. It's called Satchel. And we are looking for testers, both listeners and podcasters.
Ow!
So if you're actually a podcaster, help us out as we kind of test some different functionalities by registering your podcast at satchelplayer.com. All right, that is that, man. We've got a fun topic for tonight. Now, it has been a long time since we have opened back up the series Heroes of the Bowl.
It is. It has been quite a while.
It seems like. And, you know, when I want to preface this before we jump in, because, you know, we use the word heroes very lightly here.
We do. Absolutely.
You know, historically, we've looked at pipe smokers from both fiction and history of note.
Right.
Some heroic, some not necessarily heroic.
But famous.
But
or,
famous.
You know, what? Well-known or, you know...
Generally
from,
cool.
Yeah, generally cool people, but the idea here is, you know, folks that we can kind of look back on as well-accomplished or well-known people throughout time and space and elsewhere and,
right.
And fiction that smoked a pipe and that were related to it.
And if this is your first time listening, the way it normally works is John David, JD being a history buff and big into, you know, different... aspects of the pipe that has come throughout the ages.
Oh, I'm so knowledgeable.
You are, man. he always brings somebody from history, whereas I always bring somebody from fiction.
Yeah.
Do you want to go tonight?
I think you should go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, come
All right,
bring
it. I'm excited, man. So the one that I'm bringing tonight, and I think I even teased this out at some point.
Yeah, this
to do
is
this.
Interesting to me. I wasn't aware that this was a thing, but bring it. I'm excited about this.
Well, thank goodness for Seinfeld on Hulu, because tonight we are talking about Cosmo Kramer.
Wow.
Now, Cosmo Kramer, for those of you youngsters who don't realize this, was a character on the extremely popular series Seinfeld.
Back in the 90s, back when we walked uphill both ways to school.
That's right, I remember. You whippersnappers don't know how good we had it back then.
Man, but yeah, so Cosmo, the character Cosmo, smoked a pipe.
That's right.
I was not aware of that.
So, you know, the little fun facts about Cosmo Kramer. Okay, so think back to the 90s. So there was this little show about nothing called Seinfeld.
Yeah, absolutely.
The primary character that shared the same name as the actor that portrayed him, of Jerry Seinfeld. The show was actually loosely based on characters or people rather that he knew from his own life. And for the character of Kramer, this was actually based off of a comedian named Kenny Kramer, who is a former friend of Larry David, the other producer of the show.
Yeah.
And interesting enough, and I guess if you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, you probably know this. I did not realize this, but Larry David, Costanza character, George Costanza, is actually based off of Larry David.
Okay.
So when they're actually going and they're pitching the show in the show,
that was actually
Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld.
They were doing it. That I mean, it was basically that.
That was that's
man,
what it
that
was.
Was such a good episode too. I really liked that.
Dude, that whole series was wonderful, and it really was very much writing about what you know and kind of writing your own life into it.
Yeah.
And you know, not all the shenanigans actually happen, but just kind of the core characters. And so Kenny Kramer, like I mentioned, he's kind of the basis for what became the Kramer character, who would later go on to discover. We would later go on to discover his name was actually Cosmo. Now, Cosmo Kramer.
Boy, I was just reflecting upon the fact that we really do use the term heroes loosely, don't we?
Well, you know what? If the dude can be a hero,
yeah,
I think Kramer can
no,
be a hero.
No, that's fair. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. I like this. I like where this is
going. I was even thinking about, you know how there's like a quote-unquote religion of dudism?
Yeah, that's a thing.
I would not be surprised if there's not a Kramer cult.
Maybe there's
somewhere
a Kramer
there.
Kramerism somewhere. Yep.
I would not be surprised. Kramer, very much ahead of his time, very much a hipster. In fact, referred to several times during the show as a hipster. In fact, you can even look at that show a little bit as kind of hipster versus yuppie with the Jerry Seinfeld and Kramer relationship.
That's interesting. I guess I've never really thought about it.
Kramer often wearing clothes from the older generation and partaking of things that were not necessarily commonplace.
He was
big into cigars, especially Cubans. He was able to get his hand on some Cubans at a time when that was not necessarily legal.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also a pipe smoker.
Is that right?
Seen several times throughout the history of the show smoking his pipe.
I guess somehow that was just lost on me in all the episodes I've watched.
Dude, there was actually an episode, and I think it was called The Abstinence, I want to say, but I'm not 100% sure on that, where he actually sets up a smoking club in his apartment with regularly scheduled pipe nights for those who prefer pipe tobacco.
Okay.
So while it was not quite half and half. I mean, I would definitely say he was more of a cigar smoker than a pipe smoker.
Yeah.
But the pipe did make several occurrences. Typically, whenever things are going very well for Kramer, and he's ready to go and show off something that he's working on or yeah. someone that he's with,
yeah.
that's when he's busting out the pipe. he was often kind of sporting, and in fact, I think in every single episode, it was a straight billiard pipe, a little bit straighter than you know your traditional straight billiard pipe, but I'm sorry, a little bit longer than your
longer.
Traditional straight billiard pipe.
Yeah.
Beautiful polished briar pipe, and yeah, man, Cosmo Kramer.
That's great.
Yes, sir.
Hero of the bowl.
I you know what? Yes. Like I said, if
the, I love it.
The dude can be classified as a hero, I think we can definitely classify Kramer.
I think that's good. We pick out interesting people from both fiction and reality.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kind of switching gears to the historical component here tonight. We've talked about this individual before on the show, but I don't believe we've done a hero of the bowl based on this person. And Bo and I we really try to double check this to make sure, because we have talked about him before.
But oh yeah,
he's one of our one of my personal favorites to read about. And this individual's name is George Mallory. George Mallory was born in 1886. He died in 1924. And you probably have not heard of him, but you have heard of a little hill over in Asia called Mount Everest.
Mm.
And Mr. Mallory was the it is speculated that he may have been the first person to actually reach the summit of Mount Everest. Now, he died on the mountain, and his body was not even found until 1999.
That's
right. But George Mallory was a pipe smoker. He was the son of an Anglican priest, grew up in and around London, and fought in World War I at the Battle of the Somme. So as a, you know, this is like a, you know, a mid-20s young person, gets married, goes to World War I, comes back after the war, and gets into climbing. And, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, material kind of based on or to understand of what his first climbing expeditions were, but this was an adventurer. This is a, you know, early 20th century kind of pioneer of this, you know, sport, of this recreation.
Yeah, you don't really go to climb Mount Everest by accident.
Yeah, no, you don't. No. You don't. You just stumble upon this little molehill.
It's like, what are you doing Friday night? I don't know. You want to go climb Mount Everest? Okay. Like, that doesn't happen.
As long as we have Krispy Kreme afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
But Mallory, you know, got into climbing. Now, you think about 1920s Britain. This is a country that, you know, at the time had kind of dominion, as it were, all over the world. And part of that was the area in the Himalayas that you know, Mount Everest was in. And so, you know, modern-day Nepal. And so Mallory and a team go over to Nepal several times. And actually, in 1921, he was in one of the first groups that actually explored the routes up Mount Everest to determine kind of what the best routes were just to access the mountain. And so some of the first mapped basically routes kind of up the cliff there, you know, were developed by Mallory and his team.
Mm.
It was something that he wanted to do his whole climbing career. It was, you know, he wanted to conquer Mount Everest. He was, you know, this was right when the technology was allowing these folks to use oxygen on their journeys up the mountain. And so you think about, you know, as you go up that far into the air, Mount Everest is several tens of thousands of feet into the air. And as you go up, the oxygen gets really, really thin,
right?
Obviously, because you're, you know, higher in the atmosphere. So, you know, there you had purists at first that would not use oxygen to go up. You know, they were like, "Nah, we're only going to go up as far as our lungs will let us," kind
right,
of thing,
right, right,
until we bleed to death and die and all this. But yeah, and then you had other folks that were into the technology, and they were like, "Well, look, you know, we honestly don't think we can summit this thing without the oxygen, so we're gonna, you know, try to use that."
Part of pushing man's limits is with innovation,
absolutely.
And so I think that's legit.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you couldn't circumnavigate the globe in a boat until a certain kind of boat was developed.
Yeah, there whatever. You go.
So anyway, he was very much of the purist school of thought at first, and then eventually kind of came around to, okay, let's use this and try to do as much as we can. And it became much less of a scientific mapping exercise and much more of a kind of a conquering man, conquering the, you know, the elements type thing. But anyway, 1924, he was 37, and George Mallory joined an expedition that was led by the British government to try to summit the mountain. And of course, you know, it was not until the 1950s, when the mountain was summited by Sir Edmund Hillary, that, you know, that was kind of the official time. So at the time, the mountain had never been conquered before.
Yeah.
Him and his buddy went up the mountain, and they were wearing nothing but, you know, if you think about 1920s, they didn't have Gore-Tex and all this stuff.
Right.
You know, state-of-the-art Patagonia, whatever it is. But, you know, they had, kind of, flimsy cloth materials. I mean, their boots were made of, you know, hide and kind of, you know, just whatever materials they had available.
Were they wearing the tennis rackets on their feet? That's always the,
I would hope so.
Yeah, the iconic image.
If they weren't, that's probably why they didn't.
That's
make it.
That's probably why they didn't make it.
But anyway, he was last seen.
this segment brought to you by Wilson Tennis.
That's right. He was last seen, they said, making a strong effort for the top of the mountain there at the very end, and he never returned to base camp. And so it was one of those things where him and his partner that were on this journey together were lost on the side of the mountain. And it's funny because at the very end, the reason why some people think that, well, there's a few reasons, but one of the reasons why some people think that maybe he did summit it after all,
right,
was that he was seen less than 800 feet away from the summit at his last spotting before the clouds came in
and made
it really difficult for the folks to see. And so, you know, went from base camp, they were able to actually see him about 800 feet away from the summit and making a strong go of it at the top is what they said.
Was his body recovered?
What's interesting is that his body was recovered in 1999.
Right.
And actually not recovered, but found. So, you know, for years and years, they could not locate George Mallory's body. And so it had been kind of searched for all over. Different expeditions had gone up there and tried. And it was this big competition, really. You had a lot of different mountaineers that were trying to find George Mallory's body. I promise we're going to get to the pipe-related stuff here in a minute, because he was a pipe smoker.
No, this is fascinating.
But it is really interesting. When they found... So in 1999, a group found George Mallory's body in this very kind of remote side of the mountain that they weren't necessarily sure he would have gone to. And it appeared that his body was actually mummified, because you think about it being so cold.
Sure, yeah.
And it appears that, you know, he was actually, maybe had broken his leg or something while he was sliding down the side of a mountain, even to the point where they found him, they found his arms kind of reaching out, almost as if he was trying to grab him, you know, grab a hold of something firm. It's kind of graphic, but if this is something you're interested in, it's super fascinating. You can get on YouTube and watch a documentary of the actual group that found George Mallory's body, and you can actually see the very moment that they found him.
Goodness.
And it's amazing, because they're just, you know, he's just wearing these flimsy little pieces of cotton t-shirt clothing, you know, stuff like that. His boots are just raw. I mean, just everything is so it's so otherworldly, because now we think of all these people that go up the side of Mount Everest and, you know, they're wearing all this really fancy technology. And,
well, I mean,
this guy had like an oxygen canister and, you know, some rope made out of like burlap. And I mean, that was it.
But that's why, up until he needed the oxygen, he had his pipe to keep him warm.
He did have his pipe to keep him warm. One more thing I'd like to mention before I mention the best part of his pipe story.
Yeah.
Another reason why a lot of folks think that maybe he made the summit was that he took with him a picture of his wife that he told everyone. He made it very clear that when he got to the summit, he was going to leave a picture of his wife on the summit of the mountain.
Right.
When they found his body in 1999, 70-something years later, and opened his billfold, the picture of his wife was not there.
Oh!
That's really interesting.
That is really interesting.
I mean, so I want to, you know, like, was he the first one? Did he do it all the way back in 1924?
Yeah, of course he did. I mean, you got
to believe
it. You got to believe it.
The reason I wanted to talk about George Mallory, though, tonight is that, and this is really cool, George Mallory had a really interesting experience when he was an early climber. There's a mountain in Wales, in the United Kingdom. It's called Mount Snowdon. Of course, the Welsh name is like 16 letters long, and I can't say it because I don't speak Welsh. But on Mount Snowdon, Mallory, it's kind of where one of the first places where Mallory was determined to be like a really legit climber. People were like, wow, this guy really is really good. And Mallory was on an expedition, and he dropped his pipe down to this very remote ledge on the side of this mountain. And his group, you know, they all saw it, and they were like, well, there's no way he's going to get that pipe. Like, it's gone.
Right.
And they woke up the next morning after supposedly they had all been asleep, and Mallory had his pipe back. He had it back.
Oh, dang.
And so he, imagine like, okay, you know, us rock climbing, and Bo, you drop your pipe down this cliff and it lands on some random ledge down there, and we're like, well, Bo's not getting his pipe back.
Depends on the pipe.
Apparently George Mallory really wanted this pipe.
Yeah.
Because they woke up the next day and he had his pipe back.
Right.
Well, all these he refused to tell how he got down there, but all these climbers went and looked at basically where this ledge was,
right.
And like, you know, how did you do it? It was impossible. And so I'll read a little excerpt. This is from
unknown author.
He says, my friend George Mallory, who later disappeared close to the summit of Mount Everest, once did an inexplicable climb on Mount Snowdon. He had left his pipe on a ledge halfway down one of the precipices and scrambled back by a shortcut to retrieve it, then up again by the same route. No one saw what route he took, but when they came to examine it the next day for the official record, they found an overhang nearly all the way. So it's a really, really hard part to get
That's
to.
Awesome.
So they go on to say, by the Climbers Club's rule, okay, you know, at the time you kind of had these clubs that would officially document, like, this is such and such route, this is such and such, path, and that's how they map these things and say, you know, that these are official routes and climbs. They said, by a rule of the Climbers Clubs, they never named a route in honor of their inventors, but only describe it based on natural features.
Right.
Okay, so I couldn't name it like
the big tree or the blue rock.
Right, yeah, you'd have to name it something like that. So what they did is they said, an exception was made here, and the climb was recorded as Mallory's Pipe, a variation on Route 2. This climb is, quote, totally impossible. It has been performed once in failing light by Mr. G.H.L. Mallory.
So, well, you know
he wanted
what?
That pipe really bad.
We've got some climbers that listen to this show.
We do.
The gauntlet has been thrown.
We do.
Will you climb Mallory's Pipe? Let us know if you do. We'd
yeah,
love to do that.
I'd like to see it.
You know, if like I said, if it was my pipe, it really depends on the pipe as to whether, like, how far I would go to save it. Because there's some pipes, it's like, well, there goes the pipe.
Yeah.
But there's some pipes I would probably go to some pretty heavy lengths to try to get back.
Well, and I just like this image of, you know, young, cocky George Mallory back at camp the next morning. Maybe they're eating breakfast and they notice he's got his pipe.
Lighten up, yeah.
And then they're all like, you know, these are really well-experienced climbers from right. maybe all over the United Kingdom at that point, and, you know, one of the leading powers of the world in the 1920s. And they're looking at this guy thinking, how'd you get that? and you know, it's just one of those things where, like, okay, well, yeah, that was Mallory's pipe.
It's brilliant.
I think it's great. I just think it's a fascinating story.
Hey, Beardcore asked, did they find his pipe when they found the body?
They did not.
So maybe the pipe's up there.
It might be.
Oh, man. Would the picture have been well preserved as well?
I don't know either. Yeah, because they found other documents, though. See, they
right.
found, like, all kinds of stuff in his billfold, like
it was still intact.
Immigration document. They even found, I think they even found, like, an invoice for some of the climbing supplies that he had brought with him.
I just hope. Could you imagine, like tomorrow, you know, you tune into CNN and they're like, you know, recent expedition to the top of Mount Everest has discovered new proof that George Mallory was actually the first, you know, man alive to
summit Mount Everest.
And it's because of the photo.
and they found his pipe.
That would be amazing. Oh, that'd be even better. That'd be amazing.
It's pretty cool.
It's so great. All right, so there you go. We've got Cosmo Kramer and George Mallory as our heroes of the bowl.
What a pair.
What a pair, man. That's a buddy cop movie. It wouldn't happen. I don't know. All right, well, hey, you know what? We love learning more about these people, be they fiction or history.
And we do.
A great way to learn about them is through Audible. Head over to audibletrial.com/CSR today and get yourself a free audiobook.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week is brought to us by the New Orleans Pipe Show. Head over to NOLAPipeShow.com to register yourself today. Guys, it is getting close down to it. We are just a few months away. Of course, this is coming October the 2nd and 3rd, or one or the other. Wait, which is the Friday and which is the Saturday?
The Friday is the 2nd. The show actually starts on the 3rd, which
That's
is
right.
the Saturday, goes through on the 4th. The Perique Tour is on Friday the 2nd, but the tickets are already snapped up for that.
Sorry. But, look, you had your chance. We let you know about it, but it's gone.
But it is exciting that they are having a carver contest at the Pipe Show, and so all carvers are welcome. I think there's even a pot for $500. It's kind of a freestyle thing, so literally carve your best pipe, carve your best work, and you know, the folks there attending the show are going to pick the winner. So it's a really exciting, great opportunity for really established pipe carvers and up and comers alike to get your name out there.
That's
so
good.
Yeah, it's exciting. We're gonna be there, obviously.
Oh yeah.
Hope to meet up with a bunch of friends, and it's going to be great.
Absolutely. So NOLAPipeShow.com, that's NOLAPipeShow.com. Register yourself today. All right, we got a great question that is, it's a question similar to questions that we've gotten kind of early on in the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're constantly getting new listeners, new pipe smokers coming in. And, and a lot of times we'll get requested to talk about things that we have talked about before. I thought this would be a good refresher from Joe. Are you laughing because I'm going to butcher the name?
No, I'm actually laughing at the question, but it's Joe Dialosa.
Joe Dialosa, who asks, can't believe I'm going to ask this in public. Does anyone else drool like an insane person when trying to hold the pipe in their mouth, or am I just crazy? Haha, yes, you can be honest. Well, sorry, Joe, you are just crazy. Nobody else. No, I'm just
He's
kidding.
Insane. Yeah, I'm just completely insane. Yeah. Have you had your rabies shot? No, it's... This is common, okay? This is one of those things that people ask, like, you know, they'll ask pretty regularly about the moisture buildup in the pipe and also just, like, the, you know, kind of drool coming out, you know, when they're clenching the pipe and stuff. And a lot of times I don't really know how to answer because it's not something I've ever really experienced.
It's different for different people, but common enough that that is,
It's a thing. I'm convinced just after... you know, so much time in this industry and whatnot that some people just salivate more. And maybe it's because you are super excited about, you know, smoking your pipe and it just makes you really, really hungry or whatever. And so you just, your salivary glands are just kicking.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think, you know, I think some folks do struggle with it more. It's not just you. And, you know, one thing a lot of those folks have to do are keep pipe cleaners really, really handy. You know, and that's something that a lot of folks do anyway. Even me, like if I'm smoking a pipe and, you know, occasionally we'll get a little gurgle in the pipe while I'm smoking, I'll just take it, run a cleaner through it real quickly. As you know, if you're a listener of the show, I'm a big fan of pipes that can run cleaners all the way to the bowl without taking it apart. Our friend Crimson Rat, who was down last week, he, you know, bought him a beautiful, beautiful Briarworks signature pipe. And, you know, just as is tradition, before he pulled the trigger on it, he had to run a cleaner through it to make sure. And I'm kind of the same way. It's gotta run a cleaner. But, you know, if you can run that through there to kind of help with that some, that's really good. A lot of folks, too, Joe, will also... keep a handkerchief handy. And I know that's kind of old school. As pipe smokers, we should be kind of comfortable with old school. But, you know, a handkerchief is nice for a few reasons. Not only can you kind of dab around your mouth if you need to, or wipe this end of the stem off as well, but it's also good to have because you can wipe off the end of your tamp. The end of your temp, unless you have one of these nested pipe tools that kind of closes in on itself, the end of your temp is just dirty, and it gets all in your pockets, kind of ash all over stuff. And so a handkerchief is nice just to kind of wipe that off before you put your temp up. So anyway, multiple purposes there. But yeah, it's not just you, dude. You may be insane, but it's not it's not unique to you.
That's brilliant, man. Yeah.
Well, I wish we had more strategies on kind of how to help you with that.
We'll pitch it out there. You know, we'll put it up on Facebook. Yeah. If you've got some different techniques there, as this is kind of unique to different people. But like I said, common enough that has been asked a couple of different times, Joe. So
that's right.
Thanks for the question. You can, of course, send in your pipe question of the week, csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire questions. Man, we have got some great ones in from Scott Elve. I think I'm saying that right. E-L-V-E?
Yeah.
Sure. You're very pipe related here.
Okay, good.
All right. Filter or not?
No filter.
I like the balsa filter.
You like the balsas?
Yeah,
I'm too lazy. I just don't want to fool with it.
Well,
and that's my thing. Like, okay, we love filtered pipes. Like we have folks that come to the shop and they buy filtered pipes, and that's, you know, they swear by them. Even the Savinellis, you know, they'll pop that balsa in there. And we have a customer, Bill, here locally that, man, he changes the balsa out after every single smoke, and like it's intense. Like, yeah. but people love them. I don't want to fool with it. I just don't want to fool with it.
It's an added step, but at the same time, I don't know. There's just, for me, there's kind of a, I don't know, maybe it's a ritualistic thing, or maybe there's just kind of a comfort in knowing that you're kind of adding to the whole process.
Yeah.
But I know I'm a fan of the balsa filter. Now, most of my pipes actually don't take the balsa filter.
Yeah.
But in the ones that do, I typically... typically
will use them.
The problem, of course, is because some of them are and some of them are not,
yeah,
I'll forget which ones are and which ones are not. And so, you know, you pick up that pipe and you start smoking, like, man, this something's off. And then, of course, you pop that bad boy open, like, oh, snap.
Yeah. Is that bacon in there?
One too many times in the ringer.
That's gross.
All right, next one. Church warden or short pipe?
Oh, okay. If the question,
we're talking extremes here.
Yeah, okay. If the question is a church warden pipe or a normal size pipe, then normal size pipe. Yeah. But if it's church warden or like a very short pipe,
like a nose
like the
warmer,
opposite nose, like an opposite extreme.
Yeah,
I'd have to go with church warden. Yeah, something about really, really short pipes. It's not even a burn hot kind of thing or whatever. They just kind of, I don't know, I want it a little farther away from my face.
I'm the exact same way, man. I don't want to burn my mustache.
Yeah.
Like, that's always my fear with that stuff is when, you know, it's right there. Because occasionally, you know how it gets. You might blow a little too hard and you get a little ash that pops up and you burn your fingers, burn your face, something like that. If it's too close to the face, I can't handle that.
Speaking of that, been seeing a lot of folks recently that have had errant embers or match heads land on their shirt, and for some reason been seeing a lot of photos on the internet of people that have just, you know, had shirts with holes burned in them. And it's funny because I was folding some clothes the other day and I was like, oh, that's where that match head went.
Right.
Dang it.
You know, the other benefit, I think, of a church warden is the variety of being able to hold it. So, like, if your bowl's getting too hot, you can actually hold it by the stem.
Grab the stem.
Yeah, which is really nice.
Yep.
We both church warden. Military mount, band, or nothing?
I have to go with nothing. I thought about this one. Military mounts, you know, they're cool.
They're very cool.
I like them. They plug in, and, you know, the idea is, you know, also you can kind of remove them when they're hot and that kind of thing. I have learned something about myself over the past maybe 6 months. I don't like any pipes that have any kind of like hard edges on them. I like, it's something about the tactile feel of the pipe. Like almost all my pipes that I really enjoy are going to be pipes that don't have any hard edges, are smooth all the way around.
Right.
Like nothing, no divots, no like... and it's not a look thing, it's a feel thing. It's like, I don't want to feel... So something about it just being completely smooth, no band, no military mount, I think I'd have to go with nothing.
This is a tough one, because all of the pipes that I own are nothing.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean I don't like the other. I like the idea of a military style.
Yeah.
However, What is the pipe? You have a couple of pipes that have kind of that caramel candy.
Yeah, there's the like an acrylic band type thing.
Yeah,
and that's an accent, you know.
I'm not sure if it's one of those things. I see it, and I'm not sure if I like really love it or I kind of hate it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm somewhere I cannot figure out how I feel about it, which is why I've never really invested in one.
Yeah.
The military, I love the idea of a military, but I always feel like that's
very practical.
It's cool, man. It's cool. But I guess I'm going to have to go with nothing just because, I mean, all of my pipes are nothing. But sweet stuff.
There's something to you.
Well, this is true. Great quick fire questions. Hey, if you want to send in some quick fire questions, they don't have to be pipe related, but hey, they can be. Send them in csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback this week comes in from iTunes. We've got, you want to take that first one, actually?
Yeah, it comes from MV Midori on iTunes.
Not sure why I gave you the short one, but keep going.
He says, great show. I'm a recent fan of this podcast and enjoy it quite a bit. The hosts speak well, and the show itself is very interesting. One of my top podcasts, and I look forward to every episode.
That's great.
Thanks so much.
We love that. We got another one in from MobileMike92 on iTunes. It says, love it. This is exactly what I needed. When I discovered this show a few months ago, I hesitated in downloading, but I'm glad I did. The hosts provide a warm, entertaining atmosphere and fill that atmosphere with content that is truly top-notch. History, religion, comics, and most importantly, pipes and pipe tobacco are discussed reasonably, knowledgeably, and informatively every week. If you're an old guard pipe smoker who is looking just to find more about the culture, or a newbie like me, this is definitely the podcast for you. Great work, guys. You are part of my weekly routine. Hope to see you at the NOLA Pipe Show.
That's great. That's great. Mobile Mike, thanks, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Fun fact, I actually mistyped it, and so in our show notes it says NOLA Pope Show, which would be a really interesting, albeit very, only two members would actually show up for it.
Only two?
There's only two living popes. Well, we
have
the
current
pope. Oh,
that's true, yeah. And then the Pope Emeritus.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, look. Great show. Look, we love talking to you guys. We love engaging with you. And we love seeing all the great feedback. You know, we do broadcast the show live every single Monday night for our after-hour show around 7:30 p.m. Central Time. That's 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. And during the show, we get your tweets in. And, of course, you can tweet us at Squire Radio. You can also tweet us personally. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole. And you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And the more we get to hear from you guys, the better. So you can find that contact information at more at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man, this was a great show.
I had a great time, man. Yeah, I needed it after kind of a long day. And, it's always good to link up with you and our friends.
I could tell, man. You know, I swing by the shop every Monday these days.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was fun seeing you right at that spot where it's just, you had clearly just kind of let off some baggage.
You know, it's funny. I like our shop. I pride myself in our shop being kind of that place where people can come, let their guard down, blow off some steam, be authentic. And sometimes the people that come in get to provide that for me, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's what happened today. So,
that's good, man.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that.
All right, dude. Well, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.